sanctuary. This is Nanak's prayer, O God. Please attach me to your service.
Welcome to Dhamma Mountain. Welcome to this sanctuary of peace. This is a place where you can connect again with the Dharma, with the truth, with yourself, with the real, with silence. So know when you are here, use the opportunity to just come back to yourself and find that silence that is always there. But normally you're not in touch with. You come from silence and you go back to silence. But when you're alive, most of us forget silence. Then connecting to that silence again gives you the freedom of the eternal. That is what I call meditation. You're remembering the real, your essence. So even in between the meditation and the program, remember you can always just come and sit. And you should use the opportunity just to sit when you can. So you get used to being quiet still. Which is very, very difficult for the modern man. But finding back to that silent, peaceful space in yourself is the most valuable you can find. But you have to allow it, you have to relax into it, you have to open up for it. When Buddhists came from India to China, then it became even more beautiful because it got mixed with the ancient tradition of Taoism, which had a lot of creativity, art. And when it went from China to Japan, then it became Zen. Which doesn't belong to any religion, it just means meditation, to have a right view, to see your own true nature. What has always been important in Zen is to have a master, because how otherwise can you see your face? You need a mirror. And that's where this saying that the master is the mirror. He can reflect your true nature. You have to be in the climate where you can feel a different fragrance, something that takes you out of your little self. And opens you to the vastness. So the West, the religions, never understood Zen because they did so many things then. And everything was part of meditation. All kinds of arts, gardening, making food, flower arrangement, music, painting, swordsmanship, fighting. Many, many, many arts came out of it that normally people think has nothing to do with religion, spirituality. And this is the beautiful thing that a true being is. He includes everything. There is no separation of the higher and the lower. There is no division. So, in the West, they had so many rules, so many commandments. What you had to do, what you have to believe in. But in Zen, they never talk what you should believe. You have to find out. And the only way to realize what is real and not is to go in. You have to realize the truth in you. Otherwise, you will always be confused. You will always listen to people. And there is always something new happening, a new story, a new path, a new idea. And more you get fragmented, more and more you get confused. More and more you forget that simplicity that is already there. And that's the art of any master, to bring you back to that simplicity, to that ordinariness, where you don't need to do anything, it's already there. But that is the greatest art, because you have to leave all your ideas, all your projections, all your mind, all your luggage. You have to go through a fire just to become purified again. And only in a state of purification, when you are clear, can you see things as they are? From your own true vision. There was a great Zen master called Yoka, and when he realized his true nature, he wrote these words, which he called and got known as his Song of Enlightenment. And this is how it happens. The truth always comes by itself. You cannot do anything, it just bursts forth from your own inner creativity, from your own inner being. It's impossible to hold it back. It's like when you're hitting the water after digging, then it just bursts up. It comes forth. So this is very beautiful. And he came to his master, and they said that he was very ripe, very ready. He didn't need much. But that is the thing, that anybody is ready, but you think you are not. He says, do you not see him, the real wise man, always at ease, unmoved? He does not get rid of illusions, nor does he seek for the so-called truth. Ignorance is intrinsically the Buddha nature. Our illusory, unreal body is the cosmic body. Getting rid of things and clinging into emptiness is an illness of the same kind. It is just like throwing oneself into fire to avoid being drowned. When asked, what is your religion? I answer, the power of the Mahakayana, sometimes affirming things, sometimes denying it. It is beyond the wisdom of man. Sometimes with common sense, sometimes against common sense. Heaven cannot make head or tail out of it. This poetry, he's saying, do you not see him, the real wise man, always at ease, unmoved? That is the sign of the wise man. He's unmoved. He can function anywhere, but nothing disturbing. Do you not see him? Just before, he didn't see him. He is in you, your real face, your true being, that which is unmoving, steady, still. Do you not see him? When you see something, then it's very easy. If you don't see it, then you ask, where is it? What is it? How does it look like? How does it feel? It is unexplainable. You cannot talk about it, but you can sense it. Do you not see him? And this Yoka, he saw it because of his master, Hu Neng, who was his mirror. Now he can also say, do you not see him? Do you not see yourself? Do you not see your essence? The real wise man, always at ease, unmoved. That is how the enlightened person is. And that is how your true nature is also. Something that is unmoved by anything that is happening in life. And coming back to that steadiness, you are always at ease. He does not get rid of illusions, nor does he seek for the so-called truth. Why should he get rid of illusion? They have many religions that say this whole world is illusion. Then they escape from the world. In India, it's very normal. The old texture, they say that the whole world is illusion. Then, to be really spiritual, you should disappear from the world. But why disappear from something that is an illusion? Doesn't make sense. If you see that things are illusion, then it doesn't affect you then. Just be natural, he says. He does not get rid of illusions, nor does he seek for the so-called truth. Why should he seek? The truth is always here and now. How can you seek for it? Seeking is part of the mind. It's the very beginner. You are seeking. You're doing a lot of effort. You're doing very spiritual sadhana. Doing the chanting, the ritual, standing on your head, twisting yourself into a pretzel. That is being very spiritual. You're doing everything. I'm such a seeker. But the seeker doesn't find. To find, you have to stop. But it's impossible to stop if you are not in the climate of stillness, of stopping. Very hard to stop. That's why in Zen they always say you have to find the master who has this climate, who reminds you that it's possible to stop, just be. He does not seek for the so-called truth, because the whole thing is to stop. And when you see, why seek? You are awareness itself. Ignorance is intrinsically the Buddha nature. Ignorance and confusion is also part of the Buddha nature, because everything is in you. But don't get stuck on the ignorance. Purify yourself. It's part of you because you have everything in you. But you have so much more also. Everything is included. That is the miracle of being human. You have everything. You have ignorance and you have wisdom. Our illusory, unreal body is the cosmic body. This body that will go is the cosmic body also. It's both. The physical body will go, but the cosmic body is in the physical body. Connecting again to the cosmic body, you will remember the whole cosmic conscious space, silence, stars upon stars, and suns and moons. All that is part of you. This body just keeps you together in a form. But don't forget the real. But this is totally forgotten. No, people are only bodies. And they only see bodies. We are totally lost on form. We have forgotten what is real. And what is real? That which is eternal, that is real. What is unreal is that which comes and goes. So, being settled in the real, that which is always there, then you are free, then you are safe. Then you are undisturbed, unmoved, anywhere. Getting rid of things and clinging to emptiness is an illusion of the same kind. Again, he is saying, so many spiritual traditions, so many religions. No, you're going to go from form, which is the ordinary, the material, to emptiness. No, the emptiness is the real. From one opposite to the other. That is never the way. Emptiness is in form. Don't choose. Don't be divided. It is like an illness of the same kind. It is just like throwing oneself into a fire to avoid being drowned. It's the same thing. Both ways you will get lost. And that's how many people are. They are dreaming about spirituality. They're dreaming about heaven. Talking about heaven also, after you die, you go to heaven. No, no, no. It's not so easy. You have to see things as they are now. You have to realize the truth now. Otherwise, it's just like Kabir said, you will just get the apartment in the city of the dead. You have to find the real life now. When asked, what is your religion? I answer, the power of the Makahanya. He says, the real wisdom, the real truth. He doesn't even call it that he belongs to Buddhism or Zen. And nobody can if they have awakened, because you belong to existence. You cannot put it into a name. So many times when I travel in India also, they ask, oh, are you a Hindu? Are you a Buddhist? Are you a Christian? Everybody tried to put you in a box. And that is the difficulty, to talk to narrow-minded people when you have a big vision, because they don't understand. They don't understand the vastness of things. So this Yoka, he's saying the right way. He says he belongs to the real wisdom. That is my religion, to the truth. But these people, ordinary people, doesn't understand. They want to put you in a box so their little mind can understand. And if they don't, if you don't belong to one of those traditional religions, then maybe you belong to a sect. They cannot understand that you belong to truth, to love, to consciousness, to existence. Because to understand that, you have to go beyond your narrow mind, your conditioning. Sometimes I affirming things, sometimes denying things. It is beyond the wisdom of man. Any enlightened one will sometimes say this, sometimes say that. And people get confused. Oh, you said this yesterday. No, you say that. It is bound to happen because they live in the moment. And they don't have a fixed answer because they're talking to you. And everybody is different. So what is real, if you ask me a question, I will say something. If somebody asks the same question maybe, I will answer totally different way. Because it doesn't... The problem is not the question, the problem is the questioner. Who is coming from? In the ordinary world, then if a priest gets asked, he says the same. The same he said last year, he says today. It's the same answer. Everything is very rigid. But life is not rigid, it's very fluid. Everything is changing. And you are changing. And these only people who are in this company like you are now can understand. Sometimes I answer with common sense, sometimes against common sense. And that's how nobody can figure out the master, because it's impossible to put them in a box. They are very unpredictable. You cannot say, who are you going to complain to? No, today it is snowing and tomorrow is raining. Should it all the time be the same? No, it's the day. And then suddenly it's the night. It doesn't make sense. No, you are alive. Suddenly you are dead. It doesn't make sense. What's the point? It just means when you accept things as they are, then you go beyond the opposites. You can play with it. It doesn't really matter. Sometimes you affirm things and sometimes you deny them. Maybe same thing. Who cares? It depends on the person. But this goes totally, the mind goes into total gymnastic, if you say that to ordinary people, because everything has to be very controlled. And for a man of truth, is very fluid, flexible, free, flowing, spontaneous. And very unpredictable, like life itself is very unpredictable. Suddenly we are here, next moment we are dead. Be in the moment as the only thing that makes you free. Sometimes, with common sense, sometimes against it. Heaven cannot make head or tail of it. Nobody can make head or tail of it because it's beyond. The only way to understand is if you open up to something beyond any division. You have to go beyond all opposites. And that is what meditation is, that is what Zen is, that is what enlightenment is. You go beyond all opposite. It doesn't really matter. Then you are playful in any situations, unmoved in any situations. Because who cares? You can play any game. If that is needed. But you know inside, it's just a game. It doesn't matter. And the most beautiful game. You are not stuck. And ordinary people are so stuck in their roles of who they are and what family and what religion and what country and what political party. That is embarrassing to see how they imprison themselves in the most stupid ways to put themselves in a tiny little prison cell. And this is how I am, this is who I am, this is what I believe in. And life is so vast and so mysterious and so beautiful. Why not open up? Why not go beyond all that man-made bullshit? It is beyond the wisdom of man. But you have a wisdom that is not of man, but of God's. Man always has problems. But you have a part that never has problem. Take shelter there. Beloved Soha, I had a dream that I want to share with you. I was in a very beautiful house where I loved to be. Then I was told to pack all my things and leave. Very sad and confused, I started packing all my belongings. Outside the house, a pickup truck was parked, and I packed all my things in the car. Then I realized that I had to take all my clothes off too and put them there on the car together with the rest. So I did. The car left, cold, naked, shaky, and scared. I turned around and started walking away from the house, not knowing where to go, what to do. But amazingly enough, there was also some kind of peace and trust in me. Then behind me, the doors of the house opened wide, and I was told, "No, you can come in. No, you can stay." Love, Sita. That is how it is to be with the Master. You come with so many unnecessary things, and one way or the other, we try to get rid of it. You don't think you can function without it, but you are just longing to get rid of it. But still you hold on to it. And this is the funny game I play with you. You want to be free, but still you want to keep your garbage. And into the temple, no garbage can come. You have to be naked. You have to be clean. You cannot come in with dirty boots, muddy boots. It's a sanctuary. So this is how it is. And sometimes it just happens by itself. And you can't even let go of your little belongings. What to say about your own identity inside, your ego, your thoughts? You are protecting your own ideas. Why not let go? Be open. I was in a very beautiful house where I love to be. Many people, the doors are open. The doors are open and you can be here, but you can be here in many, many different ways. And it's a totally different ways that maybe you haven't realized yet. Because you can be in a beautiful house, you can be here, but you can carry so much stuff that doesn't really belong here. I was in a very beautiful house where I loved to be. Then I was told to pack all my things and leave. Very sad and confused, I started packing all my belongings. Outside of the house, a pickup truck was parked, and I packed all my things in the car. Then I realized that I had to take all my clothes off too, and put them there on the car, together with the rest. So I did. The car left. Cold, naked, shaky, and scared, I turned around and started walking away from the house. This is the dark night of the soul. No, you have done it, but still you don't know what to do. No, your trust has to be tested now. But no, you have done it. You get rid of all the unnecessary. That is trust. That is surrender. Even against yourself, even against your rational mind, you are cold and scared and shaky, not knowing where to go, what to do. But this is where the trust comes in. You have to give yourself over. But amazingly enough, there were also some kind of peace and trust in me. And amazingly enough, you don't know this before you do it. Only when you have done it will you get this new strength, this amazing, beautiful feeling that everything is okay. Everything, it was really a blessing to let go of all that old. But you don't know that before you have done it. Then behind me, the doors of the house opened wide, and I was told, no, you can come in. No, you can stay. That is how I tried to work on you from this side and that side. Laughing and crying and dancing and cantating and screaming, doing primal and all kinds of stuff. Standing on your head and running and tantra and mantra and yoga and all kinds of whatever. Till one day, just you, naked. Then, please, come in. No, it's the right place. Only you. Then it's very easy for me to deal. No, you have lost all your identity. And the more you have of yourself, the further away you are from me, the less you can listen to me, to the truth. The more naked, the more available, the less you are, the more in tune, the more you can listen, the more you can understand, the more you can be. This is how it is. No, you can come in. No, you can stay. And no, you can even stay without, because the doors are open. But no, the staying will be in a totally different way. Out of understanding. No, you have gone through something. No, you know how valuable it is. No, you know that who cares if you let go of everything. No, it's a blessing. May everyone feel that and relax. Aum Shanti. Do you?